I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're listening to Achtung Law, broadcasting from the beautiful South Berlin. Accept no substitute.
Hello, 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 dear listeners. Welcome to Achtung Law. My name is Nick Hart, and this is the continuing part two coverage of yesterday's magnificent win down there at St Mary's, 2-1 over Southampton. A highly, some would have said highly unlikely victory, maybe, 7 days ago, when the Lions were booed off the pitch at home to Sheffield Wednesday. Who amongst us would have thought that 7 days later we'd be feeling buoyant and giddy with success down there on the south coast? But that's how it worked out yesterday. Obviously, huge managerial changes in the week, to say the least, which we'll come on to very shortly during the course of this show. This is it's a smorgasbord. It's a tapas, listeners. It's a conversation I had yesterday straight after full time with Graham Payne, show regular Graham, and then I'll fill out the rest of this particular part two edition with some of the voicemails. There are quite a few voicemails, as you probably will have expected in the wake of that wonderful win down there at the Saints. So we'll have a few voice notes in this show, and I dare say we may well have to do a continuation part three. That may be tomorrow now, dear listeners. But anyway, we'll see how many we can pack into this edition. But first, before we get into the meat and drink of today's show, I want to mention Harvey's Den Cafe to you, dear listeners. It's a wonderful place you might want to check out if you're looking for a bit of pre-match grub before the game. It's part, obviously, of the Mill Community Trust. It's located in the Lions Centre, opposite the Lions Mill Cafe, next to the Turnstiles and Club Shop on Bolina Road, John Berylson Way, Bolina Road. But I want to give a shout out to Harvey's Den Cafe. Nice looking menu. I'm just looking at some of their pictures on their Insta account. All day breakfast, £7. Grab and go. Hot dogs, drinks, cups of tea, coffee. Jamaican patty and chips are £5. It sounds pretty good. It's open on match days. That's the big thing to shout out. It's obviously open weekdays. Monday, every day opens up at 10:30 on a weekday. 10:30 till 7 Mondays and Tuesdays. Wednesdays 10:30 till 3 o'clock, Thursday, Friday, the same. A match day, which is probably where most of us are going to be interested. It's open 10:30 a.m. till 2 o'clock. Check it out. It's a great cause. Part of the Mill Community Trust, which does fantastic work. Links in, obviously, with the likes of the Lions Food Hub that we support on this show. And I want to give a big shout out to Harvey's Den Cafe. So give it a check out next time you're at the ground, and give it a go. Anyway, dear listeners, we're going to move along now into yesterday's conversation that I had with Graham straight after the conclusion of the game, full-time 2-1 Millwall. And we're going to take you now to that conversation with Graham. We'll be back after that.
Achtung, Millwall.
First up on this week's show, dear listeners, it's the master of misery from last week. I brought him back. I never bring Graham on when we've had a most miserable losing performance. And I thought, Graham, you deserve to come on the show for the first dibs at the Neil Harris era. Mate, that was one magnificent performance down there at Southampton today. I can't find the words at the moment to show how great that was to see it again.
Well, firstly, Nick, thanks for having me on in a more
happier occasion, a happier visitor.
Yeah,
after some of the ones I've been on recently, but yeah, I mean,
absolutely,
that performance came right out of the blue, didn't it? I know it's his first game back, but I fully expected a 3 or 4 nil defeat going into it. But you know, from the word go, I mean, all 11 of them, you know, battled. Something we haven't seen for a while, I would say.
Tackles crunching in, Graham. Yeah. I mean, you know, just in the first couple of minutes, I think we set the tone. I think Honeyman got an early booking for a strong tackle, you know. I mean, Southampton have this reputation being a footballing passing side, but it was really interesting to watch how we took the game to them across the whole game. It was really rattling them. It seemed to Russell Martin, I thought he was going to have pop a blood vessel on the side of he's doing his nut, just generally doing his nut, wasn't it? Because we got under their skin. And that is old school Millwall, Neil Harris performance, you know. Yeah. My question, though, we'll come on to the game in a moment, Graham. You and me were just talking off air, weren't we? I mean, and I don't want to sound, I don't want to bring a sour taste to proceedings here, but where's that effort? Where's that Millwall spirit? Where's that tackling, vim, everything you want in a Millwall side? Where's it been? I mean, Joe Edwards, yeah, all right, he's trying to play a different type of football, but a bit of that would have helped him a lot, wouldn't it, in his tenure? So where's it been? That's my, you know, throwaway question at the moment. I don't know how you feel.
Well, exactly the same, mate. You know, I think the last time under him we played like that was probably the Bristol City game on New Year's Day. You know, the battle that day. But where's it been? It makes you wonder what's been going on at the club, really. Whether the players just weren't having him.
I agree. I mean, what's been going on? And, you know, don't get me wrong, listeners. We've just won a magnificent win at Southampton, 2-1. Every quality, I think, I don't know if you agree, Graham, but every quality I want to see from a Millwall side up against opponents that were highly rated. I was just looking at the league table, they're on 67 points, set in the playoff zone. You know, they could probably got an outside shout for the top two. They're a good side, and you could see they're a good side today. But we've taken the game to a Millwall style, old-fashioned Millwall style of approach. But I don't know. I don't know if I'm overthinking it a little bit here, Graham, but I do wonder how we put ourselves in this position when the answer was so readily available from the same group of players. You know, it was only 7 days since you and me were speaking on a misery fest last week.
Yeah, it was.
And, you know, a few days before that, Ipswich 4-0 and then 2-0 to Sheffield. So anyway, let's not dwell on that. It probably don't do to dwell on it. Starting 11, I mean, it drew a few moans online, that starting 11, Graham. Yeah. Where's the talent gone? Sarkic in goal, a back line. I think, McNamara on the left, Cooper, Tanganga. Man of the match today for me.
Yes.
Dear listeners, by the way. Ryan Leonard, very close run thing between him and Leonard. Two-man defensive midfield, Saville and Billy Mick, done very well both today, I thought. And then the forward three, Longman, Fleming and Honeyman and Obafemi up front. I mean, that was as solid a performance as I could have wished for, Graham. And starting with the back, we went back to basics, really. I didn't see any playing out from the back. There was a moment where they zoomed in on Martija Sarkic taking a goal kick. And I hadn't seen that for a while, rather than playing it out to Jake to try and do his Grealish turn in the box and pass it back to Sarkic. It was refreshing.
Yeah, there was none of that, was there? The work, you know, there was none of that playing out from the back. It was goalkeepers clearing it, and there was a few long balls. But first half, first half, I know that I was shocked with the statistics when I saw at half time that they'd had 80% to our 20.
80-20,
because we did, you know, there was some movements in the first half, they all stood firm, didn't they? And as you say, the crunching tackles. The only thing that did worry me early on was that I think Honeyman and Tanganga got booked early. I thought to myself, someone's going to get sent off here today, you know. But
it was on the brink, wasn't it, really? Yeah. Because we were playing old school Millwall football, which, you know, if I don't know about you listeners out there, I don't know about you, Graham, but I feel like a weight's been lifted off my shoulders just to see that we can still do it because, you know, magnificent away following today. Yeah. You could really, really hear them on TV. I didn't couldn't get down there in the end, listeners. So I was following it on TV, and it was magnificent. And, you know, to give the crowd a big 2,700 following, something to get behind, is really, that's all it ever required. Anyway, we won't dwell on the past, as they say. I'll keep going back to the past. early goal. I mean, Tanganga, man of the match. But, I mean, I thought we made him the man of the match award with that goal, Graham. I mean, that was a brave, brave header from a right-sided free kick from Jules Saville. Looping ball. No challenge on it, but Tanganga did have the challenge of the goalkeeper bearing down him with his fists out and took a full blow on the head, but got the touch to it and it's just trickled in the net. Brave boy. I thought it was magnificent today, Tanganga. It was the first time I've really seen that.
I think you could see the improvement even last week. I know it was a poor performance against Sheffield Wednesday, but I thought he had quite a good game last week. And you know, when you think about it, Nick, he's played no football. He's come to us. He's played no football. You know, and it was, I'm not going to name, but people were saying, oh, he'd be playing for Bromley next season. He's on the way out. Why have we brought him in? But you can see there's a player there, you know. And
well, today you could see it. I mean, yeah, I agree.
And yeah,
I mean, magnificent. I thought it was really strong. I don't think it's too much of a stretch to compare his performance today with some of the greats of the Millwall past. Yeah. Anyway, you could just see quality. I mean, he was strong, and he also has a calmness on the ball. He doesn't panic, and I think that's a mark of a top player. So you're right. He hasn't really shown that so far. Hasn't been, you know, he's just coming out of a spell of, you know, not playing regular football, but. It was really the rock around which we built that that performance. And Ryan Leonard, actually. I want to mention Ryan Leonard because I think he did very well. There was a moment where he went down in a tackle and I thought, oh, God, here we go. He's back to taking a knock. But, it was a real old-fashioned Millwall performance. And, you know, they had their moments, Graham. They had an immense amount of possession, that's for sure, but not that many opportunities. A chance headed off the line, I think, early in the first half, but if we could get a break going, I suppose that's the only criticism. You need to soak up the pressure and hit them on the break. We didn't quite make the most of our breaks out of defence, but you know, it's that's finding real picky little faults with what was a wonderful defensive performance. The goal was probably one of the few moments where I could maybe have picked up Jake Cooper today. Obviously. Last week wasn't his finest hour, but this week he was part of a great, great performance. But the goal, 33 minutes, that was that crossing from the, not quite the left, it was central left. And the forward got between Cooper and Danny Mac. And they commented on TV that Sarkic could have done better. I'm not sure. It's quite a close range header. I think that he'd have been a really, really top save to have got anything on that ground.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Cooper more than Sarkis was a fault for the goal, to be honest, you know.
Yeah, we got beaten for the header by not a terribly big attacker, you know. 1-1. I was inwardly thinking, well, we've had a good half an hour here of football I want to see, or spirit perhaps I want to see from the Mill side. And I thought after that we might fold, but we didn't. And that's another big, big plus point, because how many times have we seen this set of players, this squad collapse, you know, and we didn't today. So I don't know what magic Neil Harris brings into the dressing room. I mean, obviously he's got charisma and Millwall personality and all the rest of it, but there was no collapse today, far from it. In fact, we pressed forwards and won the penalty, which... Such a fortune in that, you know, it was a shot, I think, from Obafemi, I believe, wasn't it, from edge of the penalty area? Yeah.
Struck
defender on the arm. And, you know, I don't know if it's fortune. I mean, it was a handball, but you don't always get those ones. So, you know, penalty on 42. Nicely put away by Fleming. Again, in off the post, but the goalkeeper sent the wrong way. Is that a nice thing?
Yeah, I did think for 1 minute he was going to put it past the post. I thought, oh, and then it hit the post and went in.
You've got no faith. You've got no faith.
I haven't.
you've had the faith extracted from you. Bottom left, in off the post. Yeah, but a touch of heart flutters there, but it did go in. Goalkeeper went the wrong way. Cool head. And that was it at half time. I mean, to be leading at half time with this 80-20 stat, I thought was magnificent, Graham. Yeah. I suppose it proves that in football, possession isn't everything, actually, is it? You've got to do something with it. they had moments where they were getting forwards, loads and loads of the ball, but they weren't really being that dangerous, I didn't think.
Well, as you say, I can't remember, obviously, the one off the line, but I can't remember Sarkic having to make a real proper save in that first half, to be honest. You know?
No, more in the second half. Yeah. A few early shots. It had to be smart rather than world-class. But, you know, it did his job. And so it continued, really, second half, with Southampton in possession a lot. And, I mean, I've written down a few shots here. There was some terrific defensive work by Saville and Leonard about halfway through the second half. But, I mean, even at that point, you know, we weren't controlling the game, but I would say that we were looking very, very solid defensively speaking. Again, that's come out of nowhere really, Graham, because we've looked at sixes and sevens for as large slices of the season under Rowett and under Joe as well.
Yeah, you're right. It's not just Joe. We were sixes and sevens under Rowett and all. So yeah, I don't know where that.
Well, yeah. So what's the cohesion? I mean, I think maybe it was a bit of a, don't know if you agree, but you've been around Millwall a few years like me, but I think it's a bit of a moment when the Millwall crowd starts to really get at you, their own players, because they're not tolerating what you're producing. Because, I mean, last week they actually pulled out the security tunnel and it wasn't for the opposition to get off safe, it was for our own team. I reckon that shakes you up a little bit. I don't think that's a very pleasant experience.
No.
You only get that when you've really, really, really let down the Mill side. Because actually, I think for all the reputation of our club and our support, we're actually quite a tolerant group, really. We'll take a lot before it turns, but that was a tipping point last week. So maybe it's come from there. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. But, you know, I think, obviously, Harris has gone in and credit to him, he's basically pulled them together and said, look, you know, we're going to have to go these games now. They're like 13 cup finals. And we've all got to be in it together. We've all got to be playing together, pulling together. You know, we can't forget all what's going on. Just concentrate on these 13 games. And obviously, I think there was talk today that today was a free hit and all this, and these were not the game.
Yeah, I didn't buy that.
You can't, you know, with the results, the way they've gone today, we would have been in the bottom three.
Well, QPR have won.
QPR's won. Sheffield Wednesday's won.
Did Huddersfield get a result?
Yeah.
Sheffield Wednesday's got a result.
Huddersfield won.
And Stoke, and we're 1 point above the third spot still. I think Stoke are in the bottom three.
They are, yeah.
Which is, you know, that's not going to make them very happy. So, no, I don't buy this free hit mentality. If you start thinking like that, I think that's where you will sink. So, from wherever it's come, whatever the past and whatever the lead into it, Neil Harris has come in and got that dressing room fired up, and they produced the goods. I don't think anyone can ask for more of that. And also, I just want to give a shout to Sarkic, because he's been a bit maligned, and there's always this thing of Bart would have had this and Bart would have had that. But it was a magnificent save late, 86 minutes, Graham. It was a close-range header. And I thought that was a goal.
I said goal.
He got down well for that.
I said goal, and he did get down well and pushed it round, didn't he? But that was a good save. That was a great save, actually. Yeah, you know, just when I think if they'd have got that back the two, who to know what might have happened afterwards, you know?
Well, they've got a reputation of pressing on late. They keep the ball going, and once you get that impetus, then you're then going into the added time with the crowd behind you, you know. But I thought, no, and also to see the game out, there's a really, really strong experience by George Saville late when he took the ball into the corner.
Yeah.
Just a shot. I mean, that drawing a free kick. You know, all the years of experience. I had the ghost of Dennis Wise in my head when I saw him fall over and get the free kick and just generally kind of scuffle around over in a corner to take out the time. So, you know, that's what's called for. And that's what was achieved, the magnificent win.
Yeah.
And we've mentioned Tanganga, man of the match. Would you agree with that, man of the match, Tanganga?
100%, Mick. Yeah, I agree with that. I think, I think all the back four, really, Danny Mack, Ryan Leonard, and Jake Cooper, are all good. And
Like Leonard and Danny Mack. I also want to mention Billy, because, again, he's another player that takes a bit of stick. He's Millwall through and through, like us all. And he gets a lot. He gets a bit slaughtered for that. It's like Danny Mac does as well.
Yeah.
Because he got to produce higher standards than most. Well, today, listeners, he did produce those higher standards. He made a tackle that I could hear the roar from the crowd when this tackle was made. He did a fist pump to the crowd late in the second half because it was, you know, a tide turning moment. And I just thought he really did well. So I just want to give a shout out to Billy because he gets a bit of flack sometimes, unjustified, in my opinion.
Well, there was plenty of flack flying around before the game when he was brought in for Denor as well online, weren't there?
That's right. So. No, brilliant. I mean, week's a long time in politics. I think it's a lifetime in football, isn't it? I mean, 7 days ago, you and me were talking to each other in miserable circumstances. And if you'd have said to me 7 days on, we'd have changed the manager, jettisoned Joe Edwards, and then we'd be talking in the aftermath of a really, really strong defensive performance, 2-1 at Southampton. I thought you'd taken leave of your senses, Graham, living on the old home brew.
Home brew, yeah.
Knocked up in your bath or something.
But, yeah, I mean...
I suppose, you know, just trying to think where it comes from. I mean, faults of personality is one thing. I mean, you know, it's Neil Harris, so there it is. A simple game plan, really. I mean, I didn't see any playing out from the back from us today. It wasn't overpassing, really.
No.
You know, at times we were knocking it into no one because we don't have a target man.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be one thing. Well, I mean, Obafemi came off at half time. He pulled up a little bit, didn't he?
Yeah.
In the first half,
I thought
Bradshaw gives you Bradshaw running.
That was
perhaps the only thing. Direct football with no target man. You know?
There was a break in the second half and all where we broke, and Bradshaw he just had to play the ball through. I think it might have been Billy Mitchell. I'm not sure, but it was a bad ball. You know.
Yeah.
You know, and you think.
Yeah.
You know, if he had a someone, no disrespect to Bradshaw, but I thought Obafemi in the first half actually looks a bit lively. He was getting little things, you know, and I was hoping, you know, but again, he's only played one half, hasn't he? But,
well, he doesn't seem 100%. No. He's had this illness, whatever the cause of that is, I don't know. He just looks, I suppose he's not played a lot, and he looks a lot, the kind of bloke I think just carries a little bit of weight. If he don't play a lot, you know, he just looks a little bit sluggish compared with what I would have expected from him. Hopefully, he's all right, and hopefully he'll be ready for next week, because it's Watford at home next Saturday at the Den. Because we need another performance like this, Graham. We need to keep doing this at the end of the season.
Yeah, we do. But I just think at home, Nick, I think the tactics will have to change slightly, don't you? I don't think we can be...
We can't absorb pressure... No, you've got to take the game to the depot, haven't you? We need. I mean, I just wanted to ask you. Obviously, we're speaking in the wake of a great, and it was a magnificent 2-1 win today. You were quite critical on our WhatsApp group, Graham, of the appointment of Neil Harris.
Yeah.
And I understand why, because for me, there was an ambition in the Joe Edwards appointment. I mean, whether it would have worked out if he'd have remained, it's probably we were looking increasingly doomed. But as we've seen today, the contrast between what that squad have produced today with what they've been serving up in the most recent matches is really, really striking. And I don't know that Joe was given a fair crack of the whip. And, you know, this feels a little bit like, I don't know if it's a cave-in. I don't know if I'm finding the right words here, but there's something a little bit unsatisfactory about this. But again, I'm satisfied with the win, so I don't know. Going around in circles on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I just think with Joe Edwards, unfortunately, his appointment was just at the wrong time of the season. He needed to come in pre-season, you know, not halfway through a season with a squad that was so set in its ways, I think, and another thing. And, I sent a message in as well on, you know, when you did the voicemails the other day about Harris. And I stand by what I think. I do think, I'm going to say it again, I do think it's a backward step. I would have been quite happy he's coming in just for these 13 games. Then in the summer, we have a rethink. But it's not going to, you know, and I know Harris, he was in a proper, you know, he had a job at Cambridge. So he's not going to come in for 13 games. I understand that. But I know people saying, oh, don't worry about, you're right, no, don't worry about next season. Let's stay up. I get all that. But thinking ahead, I do worry about whatever league we're in next season, you know, with Neil Harris in charge. But, you know, people can shoot me down if they like, but that's how I feel, you know?
Well, I mean, we've certainly got to survive. Yeah. And whatever the rights and wrongs, and, you know, like I said a few times, you can't keep dwelling on what was quite recently. The situation is now changed, and, you know, long may that continue. But, yeah, I mean, it's got to be a longer-term plan. Now, whether Neil Harris can be that longer-term plan, I don't know. I mean, I think it's just refreshing for me to see a return of Millwall spirit, right? Yeah. So, you know, that's a prerequisite. But, you know, I think that the thing with the Joe Edwards appointment was it showed an ambition to play a higher level of football. And I like that. But I take that point about, you know, maybe halfway through a season and then being plunged into a relegation fight. It was never going to work for him. But
I think the club
thought, there we are.
I think the club thought that they could bring him in and it would be a transitional season where we'd win a few, lose a few, but we'd never be in any sort of relegation fight. And unfortunately, it's not worked out that way. And
that's precisely where we finished, because of a collapse in form and morale and whatever else was behind it. I don't know. But a bit like arguing in a domestic row, I keep going over the past. Yeah. And I say, we've got to leave it all behind. We've got to leave the past behind, but then I'll go back to it. We'll leave it there, Graham. Magnificent win today. Yeah. Let's hope it's the start of a memorable 12-game survival run. Next up is Watford next Saturday. Graham, big thank you for joining me on Saturday night in happier circumstances tonight, mate. I've got to have you back after the misery of last week in this situation.
Cheers, Nick. Nice to be on in a happy occasion.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Huge thank you to Graham for joining me last night. It's never easy to speak straight after the event. And I want to say a big thank you to Graham for being available, especially as every show I've had him on recently has been a misery loss. So nice to have him in happier circumstances. Anyway, dear listeners, we're on now to the voicemails. We're going to run through some of the quite a few voicemails. As ever, listeners, if you want to submit any or contribute any content to Act Unwell, I'm always keen to hear from you. Give me a shout on X. We can exchange mobile numbers. Send me a voice note from your mobile phone. It's probably the easiest way to do it. But give me a shout on X and we can exchange a message, direct message, I mean. And we can exchange mobile numbers. Don't do it on the public forum. Do it privately. And you can send me a voice note. You can also, if you want, send me
a voice note via the X direct messages. A lot of people do that. I want to say a big thank you to everyone for contributing. So first up in this voice note section now, dear listeners, let's have a listen to all the way from Australia. It's going to be Dean Vazich. Have a listen to Dean.
G'day, Nick. Dean from Australia here. Managed to get up nice and early this morning to watch a full game and no regrets. Usually when I get up at 2 a.m. to watch Millwall, there's plenty of regrets, but not this one. I was with Neil Fizler during the week. I was very sceptical of the Neil Harris appointment. I think he is limited in what he can do tactically, but he's probably the type of manager we need for the rest of the season because he can galvanise and be a real leader off the field. He's already called for leadership on the field, and we've seen that in abundance. I thought Tanganga was fantastic. Jay Cooper as well, really led from the front. Looked a different player to what I've seen from him in the last few weeks. Yeah, interesting way to play. Look, with this squad, it's not a bad thing. I really feel for Joey Edwards because he wanted to play a brand of football, and this squad isn't built for that. We're used to playing without the ball, and with the skill set most of these players have got, that we certainly work better when they don't have as much ball. We played a very direct brand of football. I think it was Southampton 80% possession. That didn't really threaten us too much. I mean, lots of amount of quality in that squad. You can sort of see that. They certainly created some good chances, but I thought we defended quite well. Sarkic, brilliant save towards the end against Armstrong. It was a good header, and he managed to get a glove to it and save us. So, yeah, full credit to him. I've probably been a little bit critical of him, especially with the big money we spent. But, hopefully, we've got three winnable games coming up, but fantastic result. And, I was really disappointed in the Southampton manager, Russell Martin, not shaking hands with Sarkic, having a whinge to the refs. I'm not too sure what he's complaining about because I didn't see anything out there that that was one-sided our way. I mean, generally speaking, we don't get much as far as refereeing decisions go, and I didn't think there was anything out there that he could complain about. So it was really disappointing. I can't stand bad sportsmanship. Shake your hands and move on. But great win. Hopefully this is a sign of things to come. Super Neil Super. Keep up the good work, Nick. Thanks.
Cheers, Dean. Well done for getting up at 2 a.m, mate. And I'm just so glad for all of our Australian listeners that we finally managed to put together a performance worth watching. So well done for that, mate. Possession, 81%. I'm just looking at the BBC website here, listeners. Possession was 81% to 19%. That veers into the same levels that got Harris sacked. Do you remember that game at Fulham, the infamous last game? I think it was Luton after that where he actually decided he was going to walk. But that the Fulham game, which was 80-something percent to whatever the remainder was for us, did for Neil Harris. It's just interesting how the same kinds of figures in the same zone there have brought off one of the more memorable matches in recent Millwall history, certainly since he left us. So there we are. That's football. It is indeed a funny game. Russell Martin, Dean. Really weird thing. I thought he was a weird-looking manager because he was doing his nut at the side of the pitch. You know, I don't know if our tactics, which were to spoil, you know, we were there to be the awkward customers, weren't we? And I thought we played that style very, very well. But that's up to quality sides, and they are a quality side. They've got some good players. Whether their passing style is what I'd want to watch to the degree they play, I don't know. I do like it a bit more direct than what I saw from them. But anyway, leave that to one side. I do think that we just didn't fit into his script for the day. And he's probably watched Edwards' ball, Joe Ball, recently and seen a team that was a mess and sixes and sevens and thought that's what should turn up yesterday. But of course we played Mr. Awkward and he got what he got. But he was losing his rag through the game. And then to not shake hands with Matija Sarkic, who was, let's be honest, listeners, he's an inoffensive boy. He's not one of the larrier Millwall players, is he? I just thought it was just poor. Showed himself up there. So anyway, he's getting slaughtered online for it. So That's that. But well done, Dean. Big thank you to Dean Vazich. We're going to have a listen now to... let's have a listen to Bill Slack. Let's have a listen to Bill.
Hello, Nick. Bill Slack. I am so proud of that team today. I'm so proud of Harris. I don't want to say we've got our Millwall back, because I think that's a bit muggy, but that, can you ask for anything else from a Millwall performance? They had 81% possession, and we beat them. And we beat them through sheer fucking guts, determination, fight, biting, fucking kicking, you name it, we did it to get them 3 points. It was absolutely incredible. And that's all we want to see out of a Millwall team. You know, all this forward progressive football, passing it through the lines and fucking keeping the ball. We want to see them players run themselves into the fucking ground for that shirt week in, week out. We want to watch a team that look like it matters to them as much as it matters to us. I want to see a team who understand what that club mean to people like you and me and thousands of people like us. You know, I want them to understand where that club was born from. You know, the communities that Millwall Football Club came out of, and just what it means to us. You know, it just ain't pride in the team. It's I don't want to get too deep, but it's pride in communities that ain't there anymore. It's pride for people that ain't around anymore. And there is nothing more devastating than watching a fucking Millwall team roll over, because that ain't what we're about. It ain't what my fucking family's about, and it ain't what anybody that I know that Millwall's about. And we got that today in absolute bucket loads. And I'm so proud. I'm so proud they come through. I'm so proud that we showed them fucking millionaires, them entitled fucking pricks. Because there's so many teams about that are entitled and think that they'll win. There's so many teams about who should be better than us because of the money they spent, because of the size of the clubs. But we have to be greater than our sum of parts. Not just as the playing staff, but the club. You know, the fans. You know, if we're not together, this fucking thing don't work. Now's not the time to criticise people or talk about the previous regime or management or anything else. Them players, Neil Harris, take a fucking bow. Absolutely brilliant.
Well said, Bill. Well said, mate. I can't really add much to that, because I'm very in tune with the way you put that. As you say, guts and fight and tough tackling. Spirit. That's what has gone missing. For whatever reason, and I've touched on it a few times on these shows so far, listeners, so I don't want to really overdo that. But everything that Bill has said there, and just feeling proud of your Millwall team again. I mean, we're not going to win every game. We may well get relegated. Let's be really, really realistic. That's the aim, is not to, but at least go down fighting and not with the patsy performances that we saw that were given to us last week and the midweek game versus Ipswich, because that's, as Bill so put it so well, that's not Millwall. And it is the cliche is that we've got our Millwall back. Well, as you say, it's a bit of a, you know, it sounds a bit wanky, but you know, I know what the sense of that is. It's pride in having your team back. So a big thank you to Bill. I'm going to move around a little bit on my list here. I'm going to go with Jim Hackett now.
Morning, Nick. Jim Hackett here. After the madness of St Mary's yesterday, where Millwall seemed to recover what Millwall was all about. I don't know what went on there, because those same players who couldn't really do anything and seemed to have not a lot of grit in them suddenly turned up yesterday, and I think we can all put it down to the Neil Harris effect and telling them what it actually means to play for the club, because that was a totally not unexpected performance. I think everybody expected the players to be working a bit harder yesterday, showing a little bit more fight. But I just thought there was a lot more togetherness in there, and I can't think of a player who had a poor game. The back four, absolutely fantastic. And then finally going back to the back four and getting the ball forward, not fanning around at the back and just defending as defenders seemed to work really well. I thought all four of them had a good game. And for Danny Mack to go onto the left-hand side and play as a left-back, what a good game he had. And he didn't look out of place at all. And I do like the fact that he is involved and Leonard's involved. So it's a good a good thing for us that has happened. But Tanganga, the first half, he was everywhere. He was like a man possessed, and a lovely for him to score a goal and then start showing some Premier League quality defending. So I think him and Jake looked very solid, and good for Jake as well. As for the rest of the game, I think it was a game where we looked under pressure a lot of the time, but didn't actually concede too many chances for Southampton. I thought the one chance they had towards the end, where Sarkic made that fantastic save, summed our day up. Or, you know, earlier in the season, and even other times recently, you know, would have given that game away, and we'd have watched that goal go in and thought nothing of it. Just had a pop at somebody about, you know, not doing their job. But yesterday, even though Armstrong had the chance for the header, Sarkic did really well, and even he came out yesterday, you know, looking good. And if that's what Neil Harris has brought to it, then let's hope we carry it on against Watford next week. I think they're there to be bullied. And yesterday we looked like a bullying team with the first two tackles from Honeyman and Tanganga. Left a good mark on the game. I think it set the standard, and after that everybody was chasing and fighting. So if we can play like that against Watford and get that sort of physicality into the game and bully them a bit, then I think we should be okay there. Slightly ironic yesterday that everybody else around us won, apart from Rotherham. But again, without that win, we'd be in the bottom three and moaning and groaning. So as it is, a fantastic day yesterday at Millwall, or for Millwall, and onwards and upwards. Come on, you Lions.
Cheers, Jim. Yeah, the Neil Harris effect. I tried to touch on this in my slightly amateur hour, ham-fisted way we were speaking to Harry earlier on, because I'm really struck how the difference in approach, the difference in mentality, the difference in spirit of this group of players. Now, I know there were one or two starting changes, but you know, this was not a dramatically different side to the one that we saw last week. I do accept that it's different tactics and a different emphasis on simple football, as against perhaps a little bit of overcooking it under Joe. But the contrast, the point I'm trying to make, the contrast between last week and this week can only be come from the effect of Neil Harris. And I was really struck, and I said to Harry, I'll say it again on this show, the impact of the personality the force of personality of the manager is such a crucial thing, because I've just been watching football this afternoon, the Chelsea Liverpool game, and you know, leave aside the Liverpool stuff, but when you have a manager like Jurgen Klopp, who comes from that personality mould of management, it, albeit with better players than, you know, and all the caveats that we can put in there, but it, force of personality carries you a long way. Look at Neil Warnock, for example, where some fairly basic tactics and just sheer drive and determination begun from the manager can produce more than the sum total of the parts of the team. If that makes any sense to your listeners, then you're a better man than me, because I'm not sure I've even twice now. I've had a go at it twice. I'm not sure I've done a particularly good job of capturing that. But anyway, big thank you, Jim. And we're going to run a couple together now, a few together, actually. We're going to be listening now to Chicago Joe and Bobby T, Mr. Cheeky. It is cheeky time, dear listeners. Have a listen to the two boys.
Oh, my God. Joe from Chicago. What a day. What a day. What a fucking day. Oh my gosh. I would have taken a point on the road any day, but what a performance. 2,700 fans. Just sensational. Tanganga is the best he's ever been. First senior goal. Sensational. God, I hope this team stays up. Get Cooper out of the lineup. God, is he cooked. Either way, Neil Harris is back. Our club is back. Come on, you Lions.
Bobby T here, Nick Hart. Well, no one saw that coming. And let's be honest, I told the whole fucking world thought we're going to lose. I told the podcast, I told Lions TV, I told whoever we were going to beat. The whole world thought we were going to lose today. Neil Harris, Sam Neil Harris, where have you fucking been? Should have come back earlier. Now, Joey Edwards, would you have got that result? Who knows? Who fucking cares? That's a real Millwall display, mate. Back to the Wolves, even the subs. Fucking there you go. 2-1 Millwall, fucking love it. What are you saying? I'm fucking up. Then I see the full-time results. Other teams, QPR, get on my fucking nerves. They won. It's going to be tight down there. Sunil Harris, welcome back. Bomber. That's the Millwall way. 2-1 back to the Wolves. Subs were perfect. Millwall performance. Bomber, welcome back. Neil Harris, we fucking love you. But let's not get carried away. Manager bounce. 2-1. You know, everyone thought we'd lose today. And we, what happened? Boom. Millwall proper performance. 2-1. QPR Huddersfield Wednesday all won. It's going to be a dogfight. We're still in the shit. Next game, Watford. No one likes us. And we don't care. Bobby T signing off. Meh. Oh, no, wait. One more, Nick Hart and the old podcast. No one gave us a prayer today. No one for all the whole podcast. We were going to get hammered. 5-1, 8-0, cricket score. What, Neil Harris are in, out, or we didn't want him back and all that. Now, look, Bomber's back, and he's going to keep us up. No one likes us. Bobby T is signing off. No one likes us, and I don't fucking care. Bye for now, Nick.
Exuberant stuff, as ever, from Bobby T, Mr. Cheeky. Yeah, manager bounce, Bob. That's a good point. Clearly, sir, words have been said and spirits have been raised by whatever method, I don't know. These are the mysteries of football management, aren't they? What can a new manager do with a squad that, you know, has only got a few days' worth of contact with? I don't know. This must be the nature of the job. If you're good at it, you can do it. If you can't, you ain't going to understand the answer, like they say about jazz. I don't know. I've got myself wired listening to Bobby there, listeners. Just going back to Chicago Joe. Jake's declining form is, I mean, I thought he was better yesterday, but he's in a stronger defensive line, four-man defensive line, Joe. I'm hoping that the return of Neil Harris can give us something of the old Jake back. He needs to develop a bit more slyness and nous in his game. And he needs to, you know, maybe being around decent players. I really was impressed, as we've said a few times, with Jeff Tanganga. Maybe playing alongside a player like that will help raise Jake's form, because he's very much dependent on the man by the side of him. But anyway, big thank you to the two chaps there. Let's have a listen now to Matt Richards.
Hi, Nick. Matt Richards here. What a performance. What a result. Just what we needed, wasn't it? And thank you, Neil Harris. It's the Harris effect. It really is. Okay, so the formation was solid. Didn't give anything away. Workmanlike, you know, we're battlers in there. It's a proper Millwall team, wasn't it? With Danny, Billy, Sav in there. So he's got that Millwall steel throughout the team. He chose the right team for the right match, really. And just him being there on the side of the pitch, you know, clapping, you know, shouting, pointing, just G'ing up the team. It was like a conductor, really, of an orchestra type thing, only a Millwall orchestra. And okay, so, you know, that's not going to work in every single match, but in matches like this, you know, it will, and it'll make the difference. That kind of 10%, if you like, that will kind of get us over the line. And, well, I mean, the fans are always on his side anyway, but it get the players working hard as well. You know, if Neil Harris can't motivate you, then you're dead, really. You know, you might as well give up the game, because you can see the passion he's got, and that passion will be instilled into any team he puts out, particularly a Millwall team. So, brilliant. You know, it's just one game, but this gives the team, the players, confidence to, you know, face the next matches, really. You know, I know it was nobody could have expected that today. I know we got it, brilliant, but that's the sort of thing you need. It's a real kind of positive turning point, and, you know, the players will be feeling like 10 foot tall coming off that pitch. And let's take it on to the Watford game. Brilliant performances throughout. Tanganga, I think rightly, probably just picked man of the match, but I thought Ryan Leonard was superb. And the right back, Danny as well. The whole defence, Sarkic, I mean, what a brilliant save. What a brilliant save. You know, that was, what was it, still about 10 minutes ago? Anything could have happened then. You know, they would have got their towels up and we could have ended up losing that 3-2. So, brilliant play throughout. There wasn't much up top attack-wise, but it kind of didn't need to be. You know, we were clinical, we took our chances, and that's the main thing. And, you know, how many times can you say that this season, that we've actually taken our chances? So, fantastic. Really pleased for the team. Really pleased for Neil Harris. Really pleased for the 2,700 fans that went down to Southampton. I bet you had a great journey back. And come on, you Lions.
Big thank you, Matt. Yeah, I mean, you're right about the Watford game. Big boost ahead of that game. So we've got to do it again, listeners. That's the thing that strikes me now that the afterglow has faded somewhat from yesterday's win. We've got to now take that same spirit, that same fight. Tactics, I don't know. I'm not going to presume to tell or advise Neil Harris. I'm not sure he'd take my advice anyway, how to take on the Watford game next week. But it's effectively 12 cup finals. Interesting with the other results going the way they did. The other teams are starting to find some fight now. QPR, Huddersfield, Sheffield. You can write Rotherham off. So they're quite a way adrift at the bottom of the table. But the others are going to fight two for now. We've got to fight two for now against Watford. I'm not really interested in whether we take the game to and play beautiful. How we play Watford, I just want to win it no matter how it's done. Let's keep the pressure on our relegation rivals and come away 3 points next week. So, confidence is a major, major boost. Harris effect, as Matt's put it so well there. Big thank you, Matt. We're going to go now to, Angelo. Let's have a listen to Angelo.
Hi, Nick. Angelo here, mate. Fucking didn't expect that, mate. Wow, did not expect that. Absolutely brilliant to get 3 points yesterday, and absolutely brilliant to see the fans buzzing, the players buzzing, and, you know, I'm still gutted about Edwards, but you can just see that he wasn't motivating these players, mate, because they were up for the fight yesterday. After, 2 days of meeting Neil Harris, the players, they're up for the fight, mate, and... you know, that's all we care about at the moment, isn't it, mate? We just got to fight for another 12 games and then, fingers crossed, we'll escape the trapdoor, mate. But shame that all them other tossers won yesterday, apart from Stoke. But anyway, as long as we keep winning our games, that's the most important thing. So, bloody brilliant start from Neil Harris. And you just saw at the end as well that the players were just, all for, he's just completely motivated them. And yeah, listen, wasn't a great game, a great watch for Millwall fans, but Harris and his coaching team, Livermore, Batterer, even, they set the team up to do what we had to do. And we didn't have many chances, but luckily this time, they went in, the Tanganga header went in and we got a penalty. Fucking shit myself when Fleming Stead had to take that. But anyway, great start, buzzing, nice feeling on a Sunday morning to wake up with 3 points. And up yours, Russell Martin, you cry little baby tosser of a manager, mate. What a prick that geezer is. Crying all game to the fourth official and then not shaking the middle players' hands. What an absolute cock. Anyway, look forward to a full den next week, and come on, you Lions.
Brilliant stuff, Angel. I think you're right 100% about Russell Martin. A new panto villain is born. He'll get it next time he comes to the den for certain. Motivation's an interesting business, isn't it? It's clearly, I think I said to Harry on the part one of this, it's going to be a triple header, this show, dear listeners, this weekend show. But I think I said to Harry how I was interested at the end of the game, Harris was talking really closely with Zian, arm around his shoulders, talking to him at the end of the game. They're deep in conversation. I think Harris spots a kindred spirit in Zian Fleming, and I think he thinks he can harness that talent and develop him into a more rounded English player with his Dutch artistry and his heritage, but matched with the Morrissey album. Was it Dutch Blood, English Heart? That I might be totally mangling up the analogy there, listen, but you know what I'm talking about. Of course you do. So, yeah, the motivational skills of Neil to get that result yesterday, magnificent. It's got to be done for 12 more games. We've got to buy ourselves security. And then who knows what the future looks like. Someone messaged on the YouTube channel about long-term plans. At the moment, I'm all about survival in the Championship, listeners. I'm sure you are too. Anyway, good stuff, Angel. I'm going to make the last message now from Rob Abbott. Play out with Rob. And I can't resist playing the Saints coming in band from yesterday because I just like it. So that'll be the close of this part two show. If you haven't heard your voicemail, dear listeners, I've got them. And I'm going to do a third part tomorrow now. I'm not going to do it tonight. I'll do another one tomorrow. Third part of this in-depth coverage of the return of Neil Harris. I want to say a big thank you to everyone for contributing to the show. I really, really appreciate it. I love hearing the voice notes and I enjoy doing this show particularly. So I'm going to play out now with Rob Abbott. And then the massed ranks of the Mill Travelling Support giving their own particular take on that old spiritual number when the Saints go marching in. But part three tomorrow, dear listeners. Thank you for listening. Until tomorrow, arrivederci Millwall, and bye for now.
Hey, Nick. How are you? Rob Abbott here from Ireland. Very quick voicemail. That was absolutely unbelievable. Jealous I wasn't there in the away end. The noise that they created, and then the passion shown by the lads on the pitch. Fair play, Neil Harris. He got his selection spot on. I know pre-game a lot of people were moaning that certain players weren't picked, but yeah, Harris the man is back, and long may it continue. Yeah, it's going to be a big test next Saturday, playing at home. Should be some atmosphere, but can he get us playing on the front foot, and can he have a style of a Millwall quite direct style mixed in with some really good football, which is what I'm hoping to see. But hope all is well. Keep up the good work. But what a display yesterday. Fantastic by all the lads. Tanganga, best game in the Millwall jersey. Sarkic, world-class save towards the end. Fleming was superb. Work rate, probably the best ever in a Millwall jersey, but the amount of free kicks he won as well by putting his body in the way, etc. So onwards and upwards.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.